Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I am Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by the Grand Duke of Gifts, the conductor of chaos, the middle manager of madness. He is Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
The mad scientist never seems to surprise me. I'm doing all right. Life has been an avalanche this week. yes, for everyone listening, buckle up. You're in for a good show. Me and Metcalf are probably going to be in rare form. We've had a week. We just had a little vent before we hit record and we were laughing hysterically. Just, you know, sometimes life is a heavyweight boxer that just keeps throwing haymakers and connecting every single time. And you just got to keep getting back up, you know? So Metcalf, how are you doing? I'm excited for this episode. I feel like it's going to get very weird.
You know, I'm good. I'm good. Let's go with that.
So scared for the listeners. So scared. I'm telling you guys, like, just this is going to be an all-timer.
No, but I mean, we get to wrap up the week talking ball and going into the weekend with having a little bit of fun. So, you know, that makes the whole week worth it. So I'm doing great. Obviously, listeners, as you can tell from the title of the episode, we are going to be running through the most recent No Ceilings composite big board that just dropped on Thursday over at noceilingsnba.com. Just head over there. It's 100% free. Just click that subscribe button while you're there. Plug number one. Boom. Off to a hot start. So we're going to run through that today. Real quick, the Kyrie Irving news just dropped. I don't have anything super insightful to say on it. There are a lot smarter people with a lot better insights that you can find out there. All I'm going to say is don't be an asshole. It's really that simple. That's it.
Yeah. We'll get banned if I open my mouth about all that, but wow.
It's really
just don't be an asshole. It's really not hard to be an asshole, you know. It's actually harder to be an asshole. So just, you know, be polite, but I'm happy he got suspended.
Yeah. And it'll be fascinating to see where it goes from there. But alas, we are not here to talk about Kyrie Irving does not deserve any of our bandwidth at this moment. Right. So we are here to kind of go over our likes, our dislikes, where we differed, all that good stuff on the No Ceilings Composite Big Board. So we're just going to run through five names at a time here, and we're going to start out with 1 through 5. Number one being Victor Wembanyama, 2, Scoot Henderson, 3, Derek Whitehead, 4, Cam Whitmore, and 5, Amen Thompson. So Rucker, was there anything that stood out to you there? Anything you liked, disliked? Any big picture thoughts on the top five?
Metcalf, wait a second. Okay, you're reading off the left, right? Did you say Whitmore's 3 or Whitmore's 4? We're off to a hot start.
I said Whitmore's 4. Did I already screw this up?
Yeah, we're already screwed up. So let me hit this. That's what I'm saying, folks. This is a rare one. And for anyone listening, this is even a funnier story. Let's side story this real quick before we go forward. Nathan, you're going to love this story. And Metcalf knows exactly where I'm going. So last night, you know, Nathan's a little under the weather. Shout out, Nathan. Hope you're feeling better. Last night, we needed someone to enter the big board online. And Nathan's usually the guy. He's the jack of all trades. So Nathan, you know, load management, I had to step up. And I'm on 1%. Battery with my brain at this moment. So I write the whole big board out and I was like, man, these rankings are a little interesting. Like, wild. Like, this was our composite big board. Wake up to a text from our editor. Shout out, Nick. Nick's like, hey, I don't think this is the right big board. I go, look, I had entered Nathan's rankings. So
which is what I just read off.
Which is what he made the same mistake. So shout out, Nathan. I love you. And it was just funny because I liked a lot of the board. And I got some. I was like, wow, we all had composite rankings of that? And I was like, interesting. So, Nathan, love you. But Metcalf made the same mistake as me. So here, let me help him out.
Yeah, I've updated my sheet. So go ahead.
Victor Wembanyama is at number 1. Number 2 is Scoot Henderson. Those two should shock you. Number three, Cameron Whitmore of Villanova. Number four, Derek Whitehead of Duke. And number five is Nick Smith Jr. of Arkansas. Are we okay? You woke me up now. See, I know what you're doing, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm just testing you. I'm seeing if you're paying, paying attention.
Right. I'm here. We're back.
So obviously 1 and 2, I think that's going to be pretty cemented for 99% of people's boards. Mm-hmm. That didn't really surprise me in any form or fashion. Cam Whitmore, Derek Whitehead, 3 and 4. I know there are a lot of fans of both at No Ceiling. So, again, not really a surprise. I have both of those in my top five. And then Nick Smith, I know I'm just a couple spots lower on him, but this doesn't feel like an out of the ordinary kind of preseason top five to me.
No, I think it's pretty spot on. Nick Smith's going to be the interesting one. I know we're very, very high on Cam Whitmore, the injury going into the season, which they updated and said he's still got no timetable, bit of a buzzkill. Don't love that. So we're going to have to be wait and see. But important before we kind of get into the depths of this big board is everyone listening. Like, remember, this is preseason. We've talked about this in the past. And if you're a first time listener, welcome. But, you know, last year we had so much movement from the first couple big boards we had. We had, you know, Keegan Murray skyrocket up boards. Johnny Davis wasn't even on our first board, I think. I made a chart tracking it, and I was laughing at the end of the year of how many names went up and down compared to our consensus. So it's going to look a lot different. Even the first update we have, you know, this is volume one, but volume two will probably look insanely different. So it's going to be exciting, though. This is why we love to do it. But I think the top five looks pretty good so far. I have no problems with it.
Out of those five names, who would you be – let me rephrase that. Who do you think is most likely to kind of fall out of that top five?
Whitehead's also got we got two guys in the top five that are not going to start out the season. You know, they're both injured. Whitehead's got his foot thing. We don't know when he's coming back. They said maybe November, but hey, I think they're being cautious or optimistic. Mm-hmm. I could see Nick Smith getting off to a little bit of a slow start just because that team is so stacked that maybe he's not putting up the numbers right away. And that's always the kind of the way with some of these early season games is guys might not put up big numbers because they're adjusting to college basketball and the speed of the game. And sometimes their schedules, like I don't have Arkansas schedule in front of me, but sometimes their schedules are made for the confidence builders early on in the year. So they might not play the full game if they're blowing a team out. But what about you?
I think that's kind of my pick too. Big fan of his, but it wouldn't surprise me if first quarter to first half of the season, that team kind of has some bumpy learning curves as they learn to play together. Cause there are a lot of guys on that team who had really similar offensive roles in high school. So there may be some sort of learning curve for all three, you know, learning to play a little more off the ball. I think Nick Smith actually has the best skill set to do that. I think he's, you know, when the three guys I'm obviously talking about are Anthony Black, Jordan Walsh, and Nick Smith, who played a lot or initiated the offense a lot in high school. So it'll be really interesting to see how they kind of find that balance and are able to kind of elevate the whole team along with it. But early in the season, it wouldn't surprise me if there are some bumps in the road for them. It also wouldn't surprise me if that's the top five when we get to draft time, because I think all of these guys are uber talented and are due for a big year. But the rest of the top 10, we have Jairus Walker at 6, Keontae George at 7, Amen Thompson at 8, Brandon Miller at 9, and Derek Lively at 10.
It's been pretty funny. Just the No Ceilings Collective. I love all the guys. You guys are all, and you know, Paige is awesome too. Shout out Paige. I don't want to be just, you know, a weirdo and leaving her out. But talking about Jairus Walker the last couple months, all of us, and then seeing the consensus with the mainstream guys And it's just funny because we're all either going to be looking like, you know, Beetlejuice when he's having his rant in the middle of the graveyard, or we're going to be pretty pumped about life. But yeah, we got him really high, and it's a lot higher than I've seen him other places. And it's also awesome. Shout out to everyone on social media. Everyone's like, love the Jairus love. Like people are buying. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I could see us having him a little high to start the year. He could be one of those guys that goes down a little and then starts to find his groove and go skyrocket. But that's just my opinion. You got any immediate thoughts?
I mean, no, I have Jairus Walker at 4. So
I love it.
I me, you and Corey have been peddling the Jairus Walker propaganda for a few months now. And I just can't wait to see him play for Houston. And all reports that I keep seeing of their preseason are that he looks awesome. I'm just very excited to see him. It wouldn't shock me if statistically he's a little underwhelming. And I feel like
he
could be one of these guys who is doing a bunch of the little things that don't really show up in the box score. So people who maybe don't watch him super closely are going to be like, really? You guys are like pushing this guy as like a top 10, top 5 pick. And he's averaging like 8, 6, and 4. It's like, cool. Like that's a really mediocre college player. But then, you know, you see the defensive versatility, the ball movement, all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, there's a lot more here. But given that he's a freshman on a pretty, you know, veteran team who also has some other freshman talent, it wouldn't surprise me if usage wise and responsibility wise, he takes a step back from where he was at IMG.
Yeah. I'm not going to be chasing stats with Jairus Walker this year. I don't even know, you know, and it's not like I chase stats with anyone I'm evaluating, but I could see NBA teams and front offices getting more excited about the intangibles and the flashes on the court and what he's projecting to be, because he's a load and he can do a lot of stuff. So I'm really excited, and that's going to be a very stacked, exciting Houston team. So that's also why I'm not expecting huge numbers. Like I'm right there with you. If he's averaging 10, 8, and 4, I'm going to be like, ooh, okay, here we go, you know. But it would shock me if the opening month is just putting up cuckoo numbers. Because I just think it's – with a lot of these guys, you got to be patient in that opening month. It's really dangerous to get discouraged that opening month or overreact because – you know, we do the same thing in the NBA season. Like everyone freaks out the first month, and it's like some of these teams take a while to get their footing. You know, shout out to the Cleveland Cavs. I'm still bummed about the Celtics loss last night. That man, they look great right now.
That game was fun.
But no, that game was so fun, and it was one of those where I was like, this sounds bad as a fan, but I don't care about the opening month because I'm just like it. Everyone's trying to figure their shit out, but Cleveland looked great. They're playing awesome basketball, and it was a great game. Off topic. So. Talk to me. Who else? What else are you thinking?
So we got to talk about Amen Thompson. We just we talked about him a ton last week with Corey, and you know, recapping his trip down to Overtime Elite. But Amen Thompson is widely considered by a lot of outlets the third best prospect in this class, and a lot of people have him locked in at 3. Some even have him at 2. A lot have him top 5. We kind of seem to be the lowest in the kind of draft community on the Thompson twins, but especially a man who's gained a lot of top 5 hype. Were you surprised that he came in at 8?
No. I'm not ragging on Amen Thompson. I've been one of the guys that's lower on him, and I feel like the more I'm watching him lately, the more I'm getting intrigued and buying the idea. But this is also the scary part. Like I've been hyping up on social media, like draft season's officially about to be back when college basketball's back, because a lot of people might be like, hey, draft season's already going on. And it's like, no, because a lot of these guys are playing. So the first thing we want to think is that's new. So we're getting to watch these guys and we're falling in love and intrigued with them because they're the only thing right now that's playing. And once these college basketball guys are coming back and we get the G League coming back and all of these prospects, that's when you start to be able to take in the full slate. And I think if you look at our composite big board, I think a lot of guys that know ceilings are showing like, hey, we're believing in the upside of some of these guys ahead of Amen Thompson. And we've also been watching these, like the overtime elite guys right now. And we kind of have a feel of like what their potential skill set's going to be. I think every guy ahead of Amen has the potential to go earlier than he does. I also could see Amen Thompson climbing up and being in a realistic top five pick. So it's preseason. Like I'm not too worried about it, but there's just some real, this class is stacked, folks. Like this is a dang good class. This has the potential to be really, really strong.
The last name in that top 10 that surprised me was Derek Lively at 10. And not when I say surprise, it's I have him at 11. So the raw number didn't shock me. You know, the talent and the foundation of the type of player that he is, that didn't shock me. What surprised me about him being 10 was that I can't recall anyone at No Ceilings outwardly being super excited about him. The most I've seen is I'm really intrigued by the tools, or, you know, I just need to see it first, but I think there's something there. Everyone feels a little lukewarm on him, but apparently we all still have him in that kind of late, that top 10 late lottery range.
Yeah, I actually was surprised that he was at 10. That was the one that kind of got me a second glance when I saw the composite rankings, because just as you said, I think there's a lot of guys that are dipping their toe in the water, but they don't want to jump in, and everyone's in wait and see mode to be like, okay, is Derek Lively going to look like the number one prospect in high school basketball, or is he going to look like a guy that dominated high school and might have a little bit of a learning curve? The talent is sensational. There's potential for him to send a statement early on in the year and all of a sudden be like, okay, this looks like a top six guy. You know, that's the tools he has. He's 7'1", he's athletic, he can be a rim protector, and he can run the floor, and he looks like he's got an outside shot potentially, but it's just we're wait and see mode. So I thought he was going to be a little bit lower. But when I saw that, like the funny thing is I always get nervous with these composite boards every time we do one, because I know everyone on Twitter is like, you see that big board, those two words, and you click and you're like, all right, time to go to war.
It's everyone stretching out the Twitter fingers, ready to, oh, all right, what did these idiots post?
And I love it. Like, I'm telling you guys right now, everyone listening, like I'll pour myself a cup of coffee. And I'm literally like, I put on like some 80s rock and I'm like, let's go to war, boys. Like,
time to bathe in the hate.
And then right when it goes public, I'm like, here we go. And I get it, because I do the same thing every time I look at a big board. I'm like, what? And it's mainly just for fun. But it's just every time I do see that, though, I'm proud of all the No Ceilings guys, because it does come back. And I'm usually like, I'm pretty, you know, 85% or up. Like, I agree with most of the stuff. There's some stuff on this one I, you know, I'm okay with. But I feel like we had one last year that we made a mistake or something and the numbers were messed up. And I was like, excuse me. And I was like, why is he here?
I believe our first one last year, just a little peek behind the curtain. I believe our first one last year, we did a top 30, but we only listed it out to 30 names. So if someone had one guy at like 7, but no one else had him, his average ranking was 7, because we just didn't do the math right. So I believe it, like Hami Hawkes came in at like 17 last year because two people had him in their top 20 and no one else had him ranked. It's like,
but that's what we loved, because it's been like a running joke with all of us. So, but no, it also is cool to see everyone's, because we get to see everyone's rankings and we all talk about it. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, they believe in some players that I'm like, oh my gosh, all right, I need to turn the film on. Like, I love this.
All right. Well, at number 11, we have Anthony Black, 12, Asar Thompson, 13, GG Jackson, 14, Arthur Kaluma, 15, Dylan Mitchell.
What did you think?
The Anthony Black one really surprised me. So I currently have him at 26.
Wow.
So I think I am by far the lowest on him, given that he's coming in at 11. So I definitely think I'm the outlier there.
Funny enough, I actually had him at 11.
Oh.
So.
And you put the big board together. Interesting.
No. I didn't put the composite one. I just put the one on Substack. Why are you struggling? Help me help you. Let's have a little vent here, folks. This is Tyler Metcalf. He's struggling to buy into the Anthony Black situation. Are you thinking he's JD Davison because of the hair?
No.
That's a joke. Well, what is it? Is it just you haven't? I feel like Anthony Black is exactly the guy you usually like.
I'm hesitant about the shooting. I'm not sure what level that's going to be at. And I'm not convinced of how good of an athlete he is yet. And so it's one of those things where I need to see it, because the bulk of the film that's been available to me and that I've been able to watch was that FIBA from over the summer. And just the disparity in athleticism and level of competition was egregious, where they were winning games by 60 points. So it's like anything any of those guys wanted to do, they were able to do. Now, I'm really impressed with the passing. I think he's a good defender. I'm just curious, all right, if you're going to be one of these, you know, offensive initiating wings, you got to be able to shoot off the dribble a little more. And I just never really saw him hunting for a shot or creating much for himself off the dribble. So I'm not writing it off. It's not like he's like I'm set in stone with this guy's mediocre. I just need to see it against better athletes and better competition.
So you're feeling about Anthony Black how a lot of guys feel about Derek Lively at No Ceilings?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I completely get it.
Those guys are in a really similar boat to me, even though the pure ranking is quite a bit off. And I think big part of that is that I fully buy into Derek Lively's athletic gifts, and I'm not quite there yet with Anthony Black. So SEC competition is going to be insane this year. So just very excited to see him actually playing in that system against that competition and just to see what it looks like. It wouldn't shock me if I end up having him top 15, you know, come draft time. I'm just not there yet. So
I get it. I got some guys on my list that I feel the exact same way about. So that's why it's the preseason, folks. That's why it's the preseason. We can afford to wait and see. If your first big board isn't perfect, you're human. What else? Hit me with what else you got.
Asari Thompson, I'm a little lower on. I have him at 19. GG Jackson's in that same kind of range. Arthur Kaluma, just a couple spots higher on. And then Dylan Mitchell, I have at 10. We had him at 15. So it was good to see that, you know, some others out there are loving Dylan Mitchell, even though he took like all of like 5 threes in his last like 15 games or something. So that's a big concern. Guys under Chris Beard don't have a glowing reputation for improving offensively, so I'm a little worried about that, but I think he could be decent enough as just a corner shooter. And then I think he's the best defensive freshman in this class, so I'm really excited to see him, especially defensively in that Texas system.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch Texas in general. You know, some people are saying Texas is back, but I will say the one name I continue to struggle with, and I think is the be careful, the cautious. I think GG Jackson's the one I'm a little nervous about, because I'm not saying he's not extremely talented. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if this is the putting too much on his shoulders, because he's 17 years old.
Yeah,
he reclassified. For everyone listening that doesn't know, he reclassified. He was supposed to go to North Carolina, reclassified, going to South Carolina. I saw one of the first exhibition games. He had a brutal outing, it sounds like, from what I saw in the article. I'm not too worried, because that's going to be a really steep learning curve. I don't care how good you are if you're 17. A year for college basketball is a big deal.
Yeah.
Not everyone's built like Anthony Edwards and you look like, you know, a NFL linebacker, but you're playing a shooting guard position. So I'll be interested. He could be one that really slowly struggles and then finds some confidence and then starts to kind of like, okay, scouts are getting intrigued again. But I think that's the name that he was 13th on our composite. I could see that being a little bit of like a goes down a little bit, but we'll see. I mean, you brought up Mitchell. I'm right there with you. Mitchell's another one that I feel like this is the range of the big board where guys could swing either way. And Mitchell has the defensive tools to really be a problem this year. I just want to see if there's anything offensively other than dunking the ball.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with GG Jackson. I'm intrigued. I'm also kind of worried about how are they going to use him? Is it going to be, hey, you're this monster recruit and we are letting you do whatever the fuck you want? If that's the case, I'm kind of worried about what he's going to look like. Because I don't think the rest of the pieces in that South Carolina team are awesome. I don't think the rest of that team is necessarily, you know, as good as a situation as like North Carolina would be. Now, obviously getting minutes and role and responsibilities are going to be very different between the two programs, but I'm just fascinated to see how they use him, because it could work brilliantly and he's just allowed to kind of freestyle out there and he looks awesome, or it could be an absolute tire fire. So the range of outcomes for him this year feels really vast.
My last question with this range, and then we can go on to the next five. Where did you have Kaluma?
I have Kaluma at 12.
I wimped out and I wanted to put him 12 and I put him 15. I already want to move him up. I think he's
going to be so good this year.
I think he's going to go up in a hurry. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I think the entire Creighton team is going to be awesome. Yeah, that I have big expectations for them. All right,
about Baylor Shireman throwing over real quick? Did you see the exhibition clip of him throwing the Magic Johnson or like the Larry Bird over his head pass? And I was like, okay, Baylor, drove, stops, realizes he's got the big guy running behind him, and he just throws like from the elbow almost, like behind over his head, no look. Just for a catch dunk. And I was just like, if this team is doing that already, this Creighton team is going to be a wagon. So
who would have thought the Creighton Blue Jays turning into the Showtime Lakers?
Oh, it looked unbelievable. I was like, Baylor, calm down, buddy. Like, I love you, but oh my gosh. So, okay, next five.
Okay. All right. So at 16, we have Cason Wallace, 17, Terquavion Smith, 18, Jalen Hood-Schifino, 19, Khalil Ware, and 20, Amari Bailey.
Where do you want to go?
I feel like a lot of people might be surprised by the Terquavion Smith ranking.
I was okay with it. I was surprised, but I was okay with it.
Yeah, I know. I have him at 18 on my board right now. But when we look at returners and, you know, their pedigree, he's probably the biggest name for most draft fans. I think Kaluma would rival him given the way he ended last year, but Terquavion was really good all year and had an awesome combine. So I'm guessing that most people would have him as their top returner, and I totally get it. My big hang up with him is what is the at rim finishing going to look like? And that's a big question for me. So I'm just kind of in wait and see mode. I fully buy him as a perimeter scorer. I even think there's a little more effective playmaking to him. Really flashy stuff last year, not the most consistent, and you know, the ball security kind of wavered, but the foundation of like, oh, this guy has some real creativity to his passing was there.
The funniest thing about looking at the composite board and seeing Terquavion at 17 was, if there is a range or a number in which like one player, like you could just tell everyone's in, you got to wait and see if he improved. That is right there. It's 17, like, because I saw it at first and I was like, wow, I thought he would have been a little higher. And then I was like, no, I think that's a good spot, because he comes out the opening month, looks like he's taking that next step. That next big board at No Ceilings is going to look very different, because some people are going to be like, whoa, did you see Terquavion? He looked great. And I'm going to be like, yep, here we go. So I didn't have a problem with it. I had him at 17. I swear this is getting creepy. This is the first time I've looked at both mine and the composite. So I think he's going to have a really big year. I just want to see, is it the efficient year, or is it the here's the ball, go do whatever you want. It's sort of the same thing we talked about with GG Jackson, except Turkavion has the talent to put up crazy numbers. So I want efficiency. I don't need him chasing 35 a game. I want him to be efficient and looks like he's making an impact to take strides in the areas you're just talking about. The rim finishing, if he can just showcase something, just that it's that he cares about it, that it's like I'm working on it, then I'll be like, I'm in. I'm going to be in. So only other name I had a little bit, I'm not there as a top 20 guy for Khalil Ware. And
neither am I. I have him at like 22, but I'm pretty pessimistic on what type of year he might have.
I had him at 24. And for everyone that's been paying attention to the previous episodes, I openly said, there's a reason why, like, I'm going to scout Khalil Ware in person this year. I'm going to go make a trip to go see him. And that's why, because I don't know. And it's one of those guys that, like, I have already some names written down that are going to puzzle me this year. He's right at the top of the list. It's Khalil Ware. So I got to go see him in person and get a good grasp of it. When you get past Victor, this is my fear with this class. When you get past Victor, I think it has the chance to be a really disappointing big class. And it also has the potential to be a very exciting class, because for everyone that likes Khalil Ware, they're always going to go to the McDonald's game. And I'm right there with you, because that game when he was going up against Lively, he looked like a monster. I was like, who the heck is this dude, this lanky freak? And then I was like, he's going to Oregon. Like I was like, shit, I got to deal with him in the Pac-12. Like, so I know, but I watched the high school tape and there's just inconsistencies, and I want to see, he going to be tested at the Pac-12. So I want to see what type of player he's going to be. It wouldn't shock me if this all of a sudden becomes a very strong big class, but I think there's some middle ground where it could get interesting in a hurry. Sorry, there's my rant.
No, I agree. We did a whole episode on him, and we both kind of voiced our hesitations. I think he looks like a completely different player when the outside shot is going in compared to when it isn't. When it's the outside shot is falling, his motor revs a little harder. He's a little more active. He's a little more involved. When it doesn't, he kind of fades pretty quickly. And then I think defensively, I think he's just extremely overrated right now. I really worry about how he moves in space. I think his straight line athleticism is pretty promising. His vertical, you know, spacing and rim protection is pretty impressive. But you get him moving east-west, and I think he's going to get in trouble a lot. But we'll see. He's going to be tested. There are a lot of really talented players in the Pac-12, so it will be fascinating. But moving on. We have Marcus Sasser at 21, Tyrese Proctor at 22, Chris Livingston at 23, Nikola Jurišić, there we go, at 24, and Chris Murray at 25.
This is my danger zone, because there's four and a half guys that I absolutely love in that five. Because I'm a Keegan Murray fan, I'm starting to root for his brother, but I actually am intrigued with his brother as a potential player at the next level. Marcus Sasser is going to be higher than this. Yeah. I am convinced. I don't care if he's 22-year-old senior. I do not care. That dude is going to turn some heads in that opening month of the season, because he is possessed. He's gambling on himself, and he is going to be on the war path. And I don't care. That is the upperclassman poster boy. I've been going to war for upperclassmen forever, and Marcus Sasser is leading that army this year. And I think some teams are going to see him and just what a machine he is. And they're going to be like, to hell with it. We're taking him, you know, in the top 20. So I'm really excited about Sasser. I know you are too.
Yeah. And I have him at 20, so there's not a huge disparity, but you know, in my mind, at least there's the gap between 20 and 21 for me is pretty significant right now, where I think Marcus Sasser is pretty significantly ahead of those guys. I think there are a lot of teams who are in the 25 to 35 draft range this last draft who were really disappointed when he decided or announced that he was going back to Houston.
Yes.
Cause he looked really good at the combine and he started last year off really well too, before he tore his ACL. So it'll just be interesting to see how he comes back from the injury, but I'm expecting him to dominate. I think he could easily be in the player of the year running. This is a dude who I think is going to be really, really impressive. Tyrese Proctor and Chris Livingston were two other guys who I had in my top 20. So I'm a little higher on them. Jurisic, I didn't have on my board simply because I haven't watched him enough to put a number on it.
Excuse me?
So I know you've been trying to get me to watch him for like a month. But I don't rank guys who I haven't been able to see. So it wouldn't surprise me if I have him top 20. You're so disappointed. You're just distraught over there.
I had him 16th.
Yeah.
And I had him 16th, and I think I'm about to go to war for him. I think this dude's a dog. This dude can play. He is a bad dude on the court. And I think, and it's going to piss me off when Gavoni tweets about it and everyone starts buying it. And I'm going to be like, you sons of gun. No, I understand. I mean, I'm proud of you for admitting that, because a lot of people will just throw it in there and be like, but, Jurisic can play. I'm excited for you to watch him now. Maybe I'll force you to do it on a podcast so we can finally talk about it. I just really like his game. Didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just, wow.
No, that was good. You bailed me out of the grave I was digging for myself. So
No, it's okay. Livingston, I love. Me and you both love him. And then Murray, I just think I'm excited to see. Nick was hyping him on the deep dives pod that we did together. Nick was talking to me about really need to go back and watch him defensively with the growth he had as a playmaker defensively. And, you know, Nick was talking some really important stuff that if you listen to that episode, Nick was talking about how the offensive game's coming along, but he really, really matured defensively last year. And I was like, if that is a prospect that keeps going back, that is exactly what you want to hear. Is okay, the offense showed some potential, and then all of a sudden he really took a step defensively. Now, if he goes back and takes that next step offensively, you got a player. And I just think Chris Murray might not be a top 20 guy at the end of the season, but he might be a damn good piece for a playoff team.
Yeah, I was a little lower on him. He's just one of those guys where I'm hesitant to take when guys have really impressive, like per 36 stats or per 40 stats, but they play like a really minimal role and limited minutes. I'm hesitant that, oh, that's immediately going to transfer. It's just one of those cases where I need to see it, because a lot of players are really effective in 10 minutes, but if you play them for 30, that effectiveness, you know, falls off a cliff, and not all players are capable of being really high level contributors for, you know, extended periods of time. I'm not saying Chris Murray isn't capable of that. I just need to see it implemented first before I buy into him as a first round guy. But
and as intrigued as I am, I made this big board before I even did that episode with Nick. I had him 39th. Yeah. So I'm right there with you. I'm one of those guys like, hey, you impressed in limited run. Extended minutes is a whole another animal. So if he's going to be the guy, let's see it. And I'm wait and see mode with Chris Murray, but I think there's potential for him to have a great year and be a guy that just, we look down the road and we're like, shit, Chris Murray's played 8 years in the league already. Like it's just one of those things. Like those are the guys.
All right, moving on. We have Ryan Rupert at 26, Jordan Walsh at 27, Baba Miller at 28, Jet Howard at 29, and Jaime Jaquez at 30.
Interesting group. Rupert, I think, has got the most potential to swing up in a hurry just because of he's doing some good things with the Breakers. I'm excited to I'm going to start doing the foreign relations pieces that I think I'm going to rebrand and do some YouTube stuff on that too. But I'm excited to watch. I know he's been getting some buzz with his good play. Lengthy as heck. So I'm excited to watch him. I think he could climb, but he's just more of like a defensive weapon. So I just want to see if the offensive game progresses throughout the year. Walsh, I don't know why I can't buy into Jordan Walsh. I don't know. What, you got any thoughts?
Just real quick on Rupert. I have him at 24. I kind of buy the shot. I know the numbers aren't really there right now, but I don't know. I for some reason, I feel confident in it. And defensively, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you with Walsh. I have him at 25. I really like the defense. I think he's a solid, he's like a good passer, not a great playmaker, if that makes sense. It's similar thing with Anthony Black. I don't know what the shot is, and he just almost never looked for it from the perimeter. So another guy where I just kind of need to see it. I need to see a little more confidence with him and what he is as a scorer. Defensively, him and Julian Phillips on that Link Academy team were a ton of fun on the perimeter. And he initiated a lot of their offense. So I think he's capable of that. But if he's doing that, he also needs to be a scoring threat in some form or fashion, whether it's being a better cutter, you know, shooting off the catch, scoring out of the pick and roll, anything. I just need to see it. And so far, I really haven't outside of like transition.
Yeah, completely. I think I had him even 33rd. I just one of those, like, that's a wait and see guy for me for sure. Trying to think who else.
I am really appalled with the Jet Howard slander. I was able to convince
you. I had him at 25. I had him at 25. Oh my God. I had him at
25. Why do you hate Jet Howard?
I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I have him as a preseason first round pick. There's some names that are going to come up. I was a little shocked. This is where we're getting to that point, folks. You were looking for fireworks. If you're still with us after 40 minutes, you're about to get some damn fireworks. Like there's some names that showed up that I was like, come on, guys. Come on, boys. Like, and there's also some names that I was just like, whoa, how did he show up? Like, I was just kind of like, all right. Wasn't on my board. Who? No, I'm just kidding. Shout out, right. Albert. Who?
All right. Well, at 31, we have Grady Dick, 32, Julian Strother, 33, Tyrese Hunter, 34, Sidy Sissoko, and 35, Mark Mitchell.
Strother, I'm fine with that. I like him a lot.
Yeah, that's same range-ish.
Yeah, I'm fine. I like him a lot. Grady Dick, not there.
Oh, you're lower on Grady.
Yeah, I'm not.
Interesting. Let's talk about him because I'm way higher. I have him at 14.
What? Kiss your mother with that mouth? Shout out Mrs. Metcalf. I just don't know if it's one and done.
Fair.
That's all.
That's fair.
I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to put up one and done numbers. I think it's, I'm not saying it's Christian Brown, but I'm saying Christian Braun. Gosh, Gundy pissed me off last night. Side story. Van Gundy pissed me off last night with his rant. If anyone was watching the Cavs Celtics game, he made a big deal about the pronunciation. And I was just like, Van Gundy, you're usually kind of funny. And it was just a terrible bit. Anyways, I don't know if Grady Dick's going to be a one and done guy, but I could see him playing a couple of years at Kansas, becoming a damn good piece at the next level. And I'm not sure about him being a freshman one and done at Kansas. That's my only hesitation.
That's fair.
Why am I wrong? I'm just saying, if you have him 14, yeah. hit me with some truth.
Elite shooter. Best off ball mover in this class, the way he kind of changes speeds, directions, varies his pass off screens. And he puts his defenders in absolute hell. Keontae George had just a miserable time chasing him around the perimeter and off screens and around the baseline when they played. Then, you know, he's not a playmaker per se, but his decision making on whether to shoot or pass when he ran off screens or DHOs. It reminded me a lot of like the two man game that Duncan Robinson and Bam Adebayo run, where, you know, he might rise up for a shot, but when both defenders jump with him, he has that decision making ability to pull it out and, you know, slip a pass to his teammate. And then I came away really impressed with the off-ball defense. Obviously, the on-ball stuff will be a little more limited, but off-ball, I thought he communicated really well, was in the right position, was active, all that kind of stuff. So, again, when we, you know, talk about these guys' routes to college and the McDonald's All-American game, when they all kind of lined up, he definitely looked the most physically behind. He was the one guy who out there who like actually looked like a high school kid, where the rest of these guys looked like grown men. So from that standpoint, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not a one and done. I'm expecting teams to guard him extremely tight on the perimeter, kind of like they did with Christian Brown after his freshman year, and force him to do anything else. And he's going to have to prove whether he can or not. And getting to the rim and scoring there is going to be crucial for him. But I think just the base minimum of him as an off-ball shooter, and off-ball mover is pretty elite for his age.
Okay. Okay. All right. We were 30 to 35. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, who else have you got?
Well, where are we at for time? All right. None of the other names in that kind of range really surprised me. Mark Mitchell, I'm intrigued to see. I don't think he's going to put up a huge statistical year, but will be one of those like really high level role players, how that impacts his draft stock. Really interested to see. And then Tyrese Hunter, I love the defense, love the kind of at rim finishing, and his mindset attacking the rim. He's just got to shoot. Small guards don't get drafted anymore if they can't shoot. So he's got to prove that he can do that. I expect him to be an absolute nightmare of a defender at Texas, though.
Yeah, I didn't. This is the range where I kind of had some guys lower that I was like, I don't feel great about it, but I don't have anyone ahead that I'm like, I have to swap them. So I have no problems with this ranking. I think Mark Mitchell is going to be one of those guys to keep an eye on that might not put up the numbers, but you can't. It's just going to be a draft Twitter crush because they're going to be like, Mark Mitchell can play, dude. Like, one of those just upside, maybe ends up going somehow like end of the first round with just like, that's going to be a good player, you know, just one of those guys. So I'm excited to watch Mark Mitchell. Sidy Sissoko is a reason he's on that list with Khalil Ware. I already went to Vegas and watched him. He showed some flashes in that first game against the Metropolitan 92s. I don't know. But then it was just kind of like rawness.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Corey the other day about this when we were doing our mock draft. And I was like, he needs the G League now this year is a full schedule. They're playing way more games. And I was like, he needs to, in the middle of the year, like the light switch came on and he's really finding his groove and then he'll skyrocket. But I said, that's the guy that's going to benefit the most from the G League, I think, is because he has freakish tools. He looks fantastic. I don't know right now. I'm a little puzzled with him, but that's why I'm going to go see him. What else?
All right. Well, at 36, we have Julian Phillips, 37, Nolan Hickman, 38, Mike Miles, 39, Deron Holmes, and 40, Maxwell Lewis.
I think Phillips that low is a travesty.
How high are you on him?
I had him at 23, and I am not sleeping well about it. I think he's, I think he can play. Yeah. I think Julian Phillips is a very, very good. I think he's going to be a first round guy. That was the name that I was doing the composite and I was like, what the, I was like, what? Julian Phillips? Like, but it's preseason. I'm not going to, you know, go to war with anyone at No Ceilings yet, but I'm on that path now. But where did you have him?
Early 30s.
Okay, that's fine.
I just wanted the shooting consistency to be a little better. I think he's going to shoot it. Just kind of need to see it. I love the defense, though. I think he's so much fun defensively. And as long as, you know, that shooting kind of comes around, obviously not talking 40%, but like 35 on 5 to 6 attempts a game, I'm going to be more than eager to launch him into my top 20. Cause I just love the way he plays. It's kind of quiet, but super impactful. Just does a lot of the little things, really good athlete. So I'm really excited to watch him and hopefully move him up. The one that shocked me was Nolan Hickman. I have
low him. Or high.
I thought he was too low. I have a first round grade on him. I think he's going to be awesome at Gonzaga this year, running the show. Really good defender, good passer, good shooter. I get the size is a bit of a concern, but I buy in pretty highly on him.
I absolutely love me some Nolan Hickman. That is my wait and see guy because I'm in a position of like going all in. If he shows me in the first month, I don't care if it's against lesser competition. I just need to see him look like it. He knows like it's my time. This is my time, you know? And I really like last year talked to some people around that program. They were all just foaming at the mouth for Nolan Hickman this year. They were just like, man, Nolan Hickman is going to be a dude next year. And I was just like, all right. And when I watched him get some run, I was like, this guy looks like he can play, so I'm excited to watch him, but I'm just in wait-and-see mode. And if he shows it, I'm going to be like, I'm in. Let's do this. Let's go to war, Nolan. But, it's I need everyone to get back on the Mike Miles train immediately.
Yeah, that was the other name that I was just going to bring up where I think he could be in a similar vein to Marcus Sasser where we were talking about Sasser having a monster year coming back. I think Mike Miles is right there with him. That dude does whatever you want him to do, especially offensively. So I'm a big Mike Miles fan.
I had him at 30.
I'm at 32.
That's because me and you are just great human beings. Yeah, well, Mike Miles.
Someone has to know ball over here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. Mike Miles, if you haven't watched him, that dude is a dog. I mean, he is so much fun to watch. He's just the competitor, and there is a spot at the NBA for Mike Miles. So I'm a humongous fan. Dude's just a hooper. I think upperclassmen going to war, him and Marcus Sasser. That's going to be the poster boys. That might be a piece. There you go. What else?
All right. Round out our top 45, we have Jordan Hawkins at 41, Harrison Ingram at 42, Adembona at 43, Kyle Filipowski at 44, and Trey White at 45.
I'm a huge Jordan Hawkins fan. Had him at 28.
Ooh, love that.
There's a lot of guys I have on my board already that I want to change. This is what I get for being first for the first time in No Ceilings history of putting my big board up first. Shout out Nathan. He made fun of me in the group chat. He's like, Rutgers first? But I already hate my big board. I want to change it. So that's what I get. But see, this is good. I know what you're doing, Metcalf, because now I'm going to get off this and be like, I'm exhausted. And I'm also going to be like, time to turn on the film. I got to rewatch all these guys. But I really like Jordan Hawkins. I think he's going to have a big year. I'm very intrigued with his tools. What about you? Anything?
This is the range for me where it's like literally any five names here would make sense or I could kind of get behind. I'm really intrigued by Adembona, Kyle Filipowski. The couple games I saw, they were either incredible or horrible. So it's like, okay, I have no idea what you are as a player. That's great. Appreciate that. Trey White, I think, is really interesting. Harrison Ingram, that high kind of surprised me because I get it in some standpoint because I think he's a really smart player. I think he knows the game at a really high level. The fact that he just didn't produce anything last year is it is something that I'm going to need to find some way to get over. So I'm just interested to see what type of shape he kind of comes into this season with and what his mindset is. As you know, is he going to be a dominant player and take over games on both ends of the floor, or is he going to kind of just coast and go through the motions on both ends like he did last year and put up middling numbers? Because some of what he did, you know, throughout games was impressive. That didn't show up in the box score, but it wasn't at the level of consistency enough where it's like, okay, this dude, you know, he's making an impact. A lot of the time it's like, oh yeah, Harrison Ingram's still out there. So I'm just really hesitant to buy in on him. But we'll see.
He has, for everyone listening, like, he has, I think, some of the highest swing factor. Like, he, if he shows that he had a strong offseason, I think Harrison Ingram could really get cooking up boards again. Mm-hmm. Because he was intriguing last year. Scouts were really fascinated. He's like 6'8", stocky, young. Stanford put him as a playmaker a lot last year. Like, I went and saw them in Vegas. He was bringing up the ball a lot. He made some really smart decisions. I think the shot has a while to go. And that was just from me watching and pregame and kind of seeing just the inconsistency. He doesn't have that confidence yet. I'm sure he was working on it this offseason. I'm sure it's going to look much better. And if he shows that, then yes, he's going to heat up because he has those tools. I'm just right there with you. I think it's got to be more consistent. And shout out Stanford Cardinals. I'm not trying to downplay this with this next statement. He's at Stanford. He needs to go kick some ass.
Yep.
Like, he needs to be the guy. He needs to be the alpha. He needs to say, get on my back. This is my time. This is my team. And he needs to put up some numbers. If he does that, he's a first-round pick. But last year, he just showed some, you know, some confidence that would come and go. And then I think one of the games I saw, he was like, couldn't miss from outside. And I was like, okay, here we go. Like, let's see. And he was making plays all over the place, but his confidence was rolling.
Yeah.
He just needs to be the guy. And if, you know, we have him at 42, if Harrison Ingram shows that early, scouts are going to be buzzing about him again because he has the tools. He has the frame.
All right, Rucker. Well, before we wrap up this episode, I didn't tell you that I had this in the rundown, but I have a green room nomination for you. So
wait. Before you go, I have one. I'm going to cut you off for one thing because I want to know something. Anyone on your big board that wasn't on the composite?
Langston Love.
Oh, I got to get back on the Langston Love. You're that really pumped on him.
Taron Armstrong, Jalen Wilson.
How about our boy from our other boy from Creighton? Your boy.
What? Trey? Trey? I think he was like just outside trying to find it. Yeah,
because everyone listening,
I have him like late 40s.
Everyone listening, this is top 45. Like, it was annoying when you got to 45 because I was like, oh, we're stopping at 45 for the first one. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, well, I like him, but I'd have him probably like right outside. So,
Kevin McCullough was another one that I have at 31 that didn't make it. Alex Fudge, Eric Gaines, JJ Starling, or a couple others who I had like right in the mid 40s. Alex Fudge sounds like things are heating up.
Alex Exciting Fudge stuff. Is going to be crashing the damn party if he has a good month. I'm going to tell you folks right now. I didn't have Alex Fudge in my top 45. If Alex Fudge shows me something that first couple weeks, you're going to find out how I feel about Alex Fudge. I'm going to be like, I'm in. Yep, let's go.
Fudge comes out shooting 6 of 7 from 3 in his first 10 games and you don't think I'm moving him to the top 10, you're goddamn wrong. Well, what about you? Anyone left off of yours?
Jackson Davis.
He was at 50 for me.
I had him at 43. I understand if people don't have him there, but I just want to see him
take a jumper. Yeah. Just literally take like more than one jumper every game. And I'll be like, all right, cool. Top 40.
JJ Starling was my big kind of little shocker. I thought there was going to be some more fans of No Stealings. Notre Dame guard. I really like his game. Me and you have talked about him before. I thought he's a top 45 prospect. Colby Jones. Who did he hurt at No Ceilings? I love Colby Jones. I had him 21.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I love him. I love him. And I'm prepared to get a shitstorm thrown at me if he struggles. But I really, really like him. Who else did I have? I was shocked James Nagy didn't make the board. But I think that's just because of the international grind. And he's, you know, he's raw. So I understand it. He probably would have been lower. But I understand. That's all I got. Okay. Green room. Hit me. All right, hit me with it.
So for new listeners or those who may have forgotten, the Green Room is the most exclusive and prestigious club in the draft world. There are 14 members, no fewer, no less. We don't have it full yet, so I guess there is less, but come draft time, it will be capped out at 14. Current members are Victor Wembanyama, Dariq Whitehead, Jairus Walker, Scoot Henderson, Cam Whitmore, Amen Thompson, and Nick Smith. I have a new nomination. Brandon Miller.
You already stole something I was going to say for a later segment. Thank you very much. I'm in. I think he's in.
Fuck yeah.
I think he's in. I'm drinking as much Brandon Miller Kool-Aid as I can possibly drink as a draft prospect. I'm telling you. All the college hoop guys are not helping me. I feel like I'm good. And they just bring over another pitcher and they're like, no, have some more. It's on the house. I'm like, gosh, dang it. Okay, fine. I think he's going to be a problem. I think everything it sounds like from Alabama's, you know, camp is just praising him. Players that are playing or his teammates are praising him. His stock is going to be in a dangerous territory if he has a strong start to the year. So
yeah, I have him at 6 right now. I appreciate that Nate Oates is taking coaching advice from this podcast. It means the world. Might not be the best thing for Alabama basketball moving forward, but hey, I guess we'll find out. All right, awesome, love it.
Roll Tide. God.
Brandon Miller, welcome to the Green Room. Well,
so how many total do we have now? I know you just rattled
one,
it off,
two,
but
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ooh, we're filling up. Okay.
And
the problem is we're gonna
someone's gonna get kicked out.
Well, we're gonna have some honorable mentions, and then we're gonna have to at the end of the year we have the big show and we make some difficult decisions. Everyone's gonna have a resume, you know, you're waiting in line, and then we're just gonna have to cut. Some people get thrown out, you know, some people get bounced.
Yeah, there are gonna be a couple guys who have been hanging out for months. It's just like, hey, it's time to go. Your card got declined. You are no longer welcomed here.
Yeah, but you've had too much fun.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. We do have part two coming very shortly. It should be in your feeds already, where we're going to kind of go through the No Ceilings mock draft that just went up. On if you're listening to this on Friday, it's published. Welcome. Go check it out. NoCeilingsNBA.com, 100% free. Just click that subscribe button while you're there. Go check it out. And then we're going to wrap up part two with some preseason hot takes. So, Rucker, tell the people where they can find you.
NoCeilingsNBA.com, Tyler_Rucker on the internet. I'm pumped for part two. This mock draft got a little crazy. The funniest part was Metcalf actually wasn't there. He had a life matter. Crazy. Life can get in the way sometimes. So Metcalf's going to... This part two is going to get a little vicious because I have some disgusting thoughts about the mock draft that I did not share with the group last night. So I'm ready to go to war. So let's have some fun. Let's get weird.
All right. Well, once again, I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me on Twitter at TeamMetcalf11. You can find all of our merchandise, including our preseason draft guide. It's all available at NoCeilingsNBA.BigCartel.com. Go check it out. We got write-ups on our top 30 guys, and then the next 30 to keep an eye on, along with some introductions to OTE and international guys. Great way to start off the season to get ready for who you need to keep an eye on. So you're not surprised. Stay ahead of your friends. Go check it out. You can follow us across all socials at NoCeilingsNBA and find all of our written work that's 100% free over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Till next time. See ya.